And now that everything's going, we'll just go ahead and start that intro music.
That's it. It's over. Then we organize the death squads for the people who wrecked America.
You know what you call people you can't talk to? Enemies. And if we want to divide our society into armed camps of enmity, all we have to do is keep doing what we're doing.
A radical agenda, the event has turned into an opportunity for the left to push a racial and radical agenda.
Implementing their radical agenda is the only thing they care about. They're bad actors.
What they want to do here is ram their radical agenda down your throat.
These are great Americans. These are people that want to see great things for the country. You know, they try and build them like sort of a radical agenda. It's not a radical agenda. It's called the Second Amendment.
All right, on with it. Welcome to the Radical Agenda. It's a show about timeless ideas and news of the day, and usually your calls, but not tonight. I'll just say it. You know, we're nearing the conclusion of Radical Agenda Stage 6, ladies and gentlemen. There are no plans for Stage 7. This is not to say that you will have heard the last from me anytime soon. Surreal Politics will continue. I will produce uncensored content in some other fashion separately from that branding. Some of that will be members-only content available to those with Surreal Politics memberships. In truth, the Radical Agenda ended a long time ago. The show has not been the same since the events of 2017, and I have long struggled with the apprehension that I might be ruining this body of work by straying too far from the original body of work that I was so proud of. Being deprived of business services and promotional means, the trajectory of listenership and financial support has steadily declined. More importantly, this has had the effect of turning the phone lines into a ghost town, which is why I'm not even bothering to pay for them tonight. Having been typecasted as edgy politics, we've been relegated to an echo chamber wherein ideas stagnate and grow stale. In my view, it is boring, and it seems a lot of people agree. None of this is conducive to political success. While suffering through tedium and inglorious tasks and painful events is worthwhile in service to a higher purpose, it has become clear to me that we are not approaching anything of the sort. With nearly a year and a half having passed since my release from prison, I am met with the grim realization that I have not accomplished almost any of the goals that I set at that time, and now being well into my 40s, I am hyper-conscious of time scarcity. This decision weighs heavily on me. It is difficult to think about much else. Writing passionately with this on my mind has proven largely impossible. Those bursts of inspiration I have had in recent weeks have left me with a number of high quality but unfinished drafts, and I am unsure when I'll have the faculties to complete them. But I am still pretty good on the fly, so today, that's cute, thank you very much. So today, I brought to you I did some OMI TV today, and I think some of it is pretty good. We got a bunch of news also, and so I'll do the OMI TV thing. I think the content that you're going to see going forward, I got to figure out. I even on the member show, I tossed it. I might just do it as like the Christopher Cantwell show. The goal is basically to get away from politics. I don't want to be in this space anymore, okay? Or at least not be typecasted to it, okay? It's not working, and it's not working for anybody, by the way. You know, there's a bunch of people all clamoring for the same, I don't know, 200 people at this point, and it's getting pretty ridiculous. It's not really worth, it's not worth watching, it's not worth paying for, it's not worth suffering for. And so we got to try to do something else. And I think that, you know, some of the stuff I'd done pretty recently has the potential to be more interesting. You know, trying to go out and basically have interactions with people and not have it be this, like, niche political, you know, edgy fringe politics nonsense. It's not that interesting. You can talk to people about these things, you know what I'm saying? You can go and you can work these things into conversation. But if you approach people that way, it doesn't work. And I've noticed that for a long time, you know? And so, you know, I sort of started trying to do this in the capacity of like, well, you know, we'll do it as politics, but, you know, on the rightward edge of respectable or something like that. And okay, you know, that's better than being stuck in, you know, the relegated to the darkest corners of the internet. At least you could get Surreal Politics on iTunes, you know. But even at that, it's like you approach people with it, they don't want it. You know, you got to approach them with something else, and I'm going to do that. And so I did the OMI TV stuff today. I think it was actually, it came out pretty good, and we're going to have a lot more of that. Did on Monday, we did the episode where I was talking to people on Grindr, and I think that those are actually going to be pretty interesting, more interesting going forward. And I'm looking for other ways to try to do it. So if you've got ideas, I'm interested to hear from you. If you send me an email, christophercantwell.net/contact, we can, drop me your ideas. If you think there's ways for me to, spark interactions with other people that I can record, I'll be very interested to hear from you on that. And so let me know your thoughts. I'll start with the OMI TV stuff, and then we'll do some news, and I'll be back in a little while.
What up? What, you in jail? Hello?
Bald ass nigga with no bitches.
Ha 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 ha.
And broke. Go feed your kid.
Yo, look. You got some money there? What, you selling crack? What are you doing? How you make your money?
What the fuck would I sell crack, bitch?
Why? You robbing white people? What are you doing?
I hope you realize you're not on the right mic. You're not on the right mic input.
Look, I'm on the perfect mic input.
You're not, nigga. You're like 30 miles. It sounds like you're 30 miles away from your PC.
Listen, nigga, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, what I'm telling you
you're
is
broke.
That you're a
broke.
Stupid
you're
black
broke.
Fucking
you're
child,
broke.
And you're not going to you're grow broke. Up to be anything. You're going to
Amazon green screen? Question mark. Amazon green screen? Question mark.
You're going to be a criminal, and you're going to go to prison.
Bald ass nigga. Look like Jason.
You're gonna go to prison, and you're gonna be a miserable piece of shit, and then your kids are gonna be sick. Yours too. You know that? Hello. What's with all these animals on the screen? Why are you people not like? Where's the human beings?
Christopher, you have a receding hairline, sir.
Yes, I know. I know. That's what happens when you're 40 years old and you have high testosterone.
What?
Yeah.
What's up, brother?
What's going on, man? What are you guys masked up for? You guys trying to behave like the blacks? What are you doing?
Hey, bro.
What's up, man? What are you doing?
What's up, bro? Hey, I just seen a 15-year-old on here with a kid, bro.
You just seen a 15-year-old on here with a kid?
Yep.
That's unsurprising. It's probably black, right?
Nah, it was a white girl.
God fucking damn it, they're ruining us. You know that. Hello?
Yeah, we can get banned. Or someone looking, we can get banned. What's up, Christopher?
What's going on, man?
Are you looking for the big booty girls too?
I'm just looking for conversation, man. I don't care if it's girls or guys, and I'm not trying to fucking get laid on here. I have better ways of doing that, frankly. You know.
Wait. Damn. How you been? Wait. What did he say?
He's been lame lately. He's fucking.
All right. I didn't even know that, but all right. You have a very shiny head.
Yeah, so it happens. You take a razor to it; it works miracles.
All right, you have a very shiny head.
Yeah, man. That'll happen.
You're welcome.
Yeah, when you get older, you see how that works out for you. You keep on making fun of fucking bald people. You grow up. See how that fucking works out for you, buddy.
All right.
Unless you have, like, low testosterone, which I think is probably the case, in which case you'll be fine. You'll keep your hair until forever like a fucking woman.
All right, then.
What, are you in a crib?
Oh, you bald ass bitch.
What, you guys getting ready to go rob somebody? Is that how you got your money? You put your mask on, you go take it?
I'm a scammer, my nigga. Fuck
yeah.
Out of here, bitch.
You look like a scammer. Nice gang
signs. I'll scam your bank account right now, my nigga.
Yeah, come here with your mask and see what happens.
Your money finna go missing, my nigga. Watch.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's right there, nigga.
Yeah, nigga, come take my money. Go ahead. That's fine.
What happened?
I said, yeah, nigga, come take my money.
I am, nigga. Watch. Yeah. Tell me if your money go missing later.
Yeah.
All right, I see. Bitch ass nigga, broke ass bitch, bald ass bitch.
Yeah.
Man, you can't get dough like me, fat ass bitch.
Yeah, I'm not getting dough like you for sure.
Fat bitch.
I'm going to get dough different ways than you. You know.
Get your shit.
You should come to New Hampshire. They love you here because
you're
trying.
You old ass bitch, nigga.
Yeah,
kill yourself already, bitch.
Yeah, no, I think I'm just gonna be an old white man. You know, I understand that. That drives you guys crazy, right?
Ugly ass bitch. Respect, bitch. Watch your money go
respect,
make you
respect. That's
bitch.
Pretty
kill
funny.
Yourself, bitch.
I'll tell you what. How about you come to New Hampshire, you pick up a gun, you start robbing people like an adult, and then you go to prison
nigga,
for the rest of your life.
Nigga, I got that shit. Nigga, I scam niggas. You feel me, bro?
Yeah, stop scamming and just go take a gun and rob people, you pussy. Come on.
I'm gonna rob your ass.
Run
nigga.
Around robbing motherfuckers like a man. Don't be trying to do some computer bitch. Shit. You know?
What happened, bitch?
I
broke
said,
ass
don't,
wife,
don't be relying on the Microsoft Corporation to
go,
facilitate
go
your crime.
Fort, nigga. You
go pick up a gun. Go
chair,
pick
nigga.
Up a gun and go
like,
put it in somebody's
nigga.
Face like a man.
Hood,
okay?
Here, broke ass,
you know?
Bitch.
Run around. You know, go get your friends together and go jump people in the street like a real black person, okay? All right? This
broke
is not,
ass, nigga.
This is not black crime. You don't,
ass,
you don't understand, okay?
I don't understand what nigga,
online scams are not me. For are not for Negro teenagers. What's up, buddy?
What up, gang? You stream?
Do I stream? Yeah, I stream.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I can tell the green screen gave it away.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm not streaming right now, but I'm you know, I don't want my background, you know.
Yeah, what do you stream?
A bunch of Nazi propaganda mostly.
I'm gonna take my do-rag off. You're gonna look at my cut, cuz he's gonna be like, they gonna
what are you guys head. Doing
smack your bitch ass.
Yeah, why don't you give that a shot? Let me know how it works out.
Beat the fuck out, you bald motherfucker.
See, you niggas are so
tell
hard
you
when you niggas
shit,
are so hard
bitch.
On the computer, right? I'll tell you what, I was a... What up, buddies?
What up, buddy?
Chill, man. What are you guys doing?
Just hanging out. How about you?
I'm basically hanging out, too. I'm trying to set up some shit so that I can go and... I'm trying to download like a new Android emulator for my computer so that I can go on Grindr, the gay dating app, and go harass homosexuals. And I'm waiting for that to.
Why don't you just socialize in public and get a girlfriend?
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to get a girlfriend. I'm trying to go like break people's balls on the internet is the idea. And so that's a different category of action. If
I want to speed up.
I'm sorry.
You can either use BlueStacks or Nexus.
Yeah, BlueStacks, I don't like BlueStacks. Like, BlueStacks, first of all, it installed a bunch of fucking nonsense on my computer when I installed it.
Yeah, that's
it.
Where I said Nexus. Nexus is, it's basically just a virtual machine for APKs.
Nexus? I'm
yeah,
looking at Nox player right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll look at that right now.
Yeah, good luck with that, pimp.
Thank you.
Fuck.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Christopher?
Chilling, man. What are you doing?
Chilling, man.
What I'm doing is I'm trying to find a new Android emulator for my computer because I have been going on. You ever heard of Grindr before?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a dating app for queers. And so I thought that I've had a lot of fun on there. Not like in the degenerate sense. I just go on there and talk to people. And sometimes I get them on the phone and I put them on my podcast and stuff. And so I figured out that with the Android emulator, I can spoof my GPS and I can put it in different locations, right? Instead of like, if you put it on your phone, I'm presuming you're not gay, you probably don't use the app very often. When you put it on your phone, it announces your location and you're in your own neighborhood, right? If you can spoof your GPS and you could go put it in any neighborhood that you want, and you could talk to more people and you could do more interesting things, right? And so I started doing that, but I have this kind of like crappy Android emulator. I'm trying to find a new one. But like a lot of the ones that you can download, they're full of spyware and they're a bunch of fucking nonsense and I'm pissed. So I'm doing that right now while I go through this thing. And, you know, I most people that I get on here, they're like, oh, you're old and not a woman. And so I'm going to go and try to get laid on Omi TV in some other fucking way and they hit next. And every once in a while, somebody stops and says hello. And, you know, and then I stop and I talk to them. So what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't.
You know?
I don't know much about spoofing locations or apps for it. I don't use computers.
No, I figure. I didn't think that you were. I was just answering the question of what I was doing, and so What do you do for fun other than drugs? You don't do drugs, do you?
Other than drugs?
Yeah, do you do drugs?
Drugs?
Yeah, do you do drugs?
Yeah, I smoke weed.
That's you smoke it. Weed? Why do you smoke fucking weed?
It's a plant, it's not a drug.
Well, I understand. The Cat Williams bit on that is pretty fucking funny, if you ask me, you know? But it's not just a plant, you know? There's a lot of things that are just plants. Opium's just a plant. And so it's a drug, and it's a drug that makes people lazy.
And it's, is cocaine, but it's not cocaine, it's coca.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everything's a plant until we start fucking with it, right? And then then we use it as a drug, plant or none, right? And so marijuana is a drug, and it's actually like one of the most addictive drugs out there, and it makes people lazy and stupid. And it's the only drug that people can do from morning until night, from the time they wake up in the morning to the time they go to bed at night, every single day for their entire lives and make all their decisions while high, and then say that they're not a drug addict, which I think is fucking hysterical, you know? And so it's like, you know, I don't care, like, if you're having fun, have fun. I'm not actually, like, getting mad at you or whatever. You do whatever you want in your life. But I just think the marijuana thing's pretty funny because, you know, everybody thinks it's not a drug. Like, you go, the funny thing on that Grindr thing, right? They're like, people will say, like, no drugs, 420 okay. Well, I want to go on there and be like, yeah, you can do whatever drugs you want, and just no more potheads, okay? Just sick of weed. It smells like crap. People do it all day. They're stoned all the time. They make all their decisions high, and then they're like, and then if they don't have their weed, then they're like, oh, when I don't have my weed, I'm stressed out. I'm like, yeah, it's called a withdrawal symptom. You're a drug addict, you know? Yeah. But, you know, I think, you know, what we should do is legalize mushrooms. That's what we should probably do. Just do, like, make marijuana a death penalty offense and then legalize mushrooms. It probably just solve a lot of problems that way because mushrooms are what drugs are supposed to be, you know? You do them and you're whacked out of your mind for a little while and you know that you can't, you know, go to work or drive. And then after you're done, then you get back to the rest of your life and you don't do them all the time, you know? It's those, like, lifestyle drugs that ruin everybody. So, what else?
No. I mean, it depends if you smoke with, what's the word? It's where you base it out.
What's that?
It's where you, like, you smoke, but you base it out. Like, you only smoke a certain amount of times or a certain time. Forget the name for it.
You space it out? You space out your smoking? Like, yeah, smoke at certain times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm working, I don't smoke. I don't like being high while I work.
Yeah, I hear that.
If I'm driving, I don't like being high. I don't like being high and driving.
Yeah, being high and driving is not a good idea. People think, like, people act like that doesn't matter. I'm like, no, it definitely does, you know? I don't smoke weed anymore, but I, you know, like, I had a girlfriend smoke it, and I used to keep it in the house for her. And it was like, I would sometimes smoke with her, you know, just like, oh, whatever, fine, I'll take a hit. I'm sorry, one second. And, like, I take two hits of, like, the weed that she'd smoke this weed all day, and she acts like she's perfectly fine. And then I take, like, two hits of it, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't, like, get out of my chair. Like, what are you're doing this to yourself all day long? It's completely out of your mind. And so the idea that, like, somebody's doing that and then driving is completely preposterous. And everybody's like, no, it's like weed's different, you know? You could smoke weed and drive. You can smoke weed and go to work. You can smoke weed and vote. You can smoke weed and make decisions about your life, and everything's going to be fantastic. It's like,
once you build that tolerance, yeah.
Well, that's as a matter of fact, I think that's – I don't think that's the case, right? Because you build a tolerance to it. Okay. So now your experience of marijuana is at such a level that, like, marijuana doesn't even get you – high is actually what you mean by tolerance. That you're taking a drug that puts me on the couch, you know, that I'm like, I'm a 220-pound bodybuilder, and I take two hits of this, and I can't get off the couch. And then you're like, well, I've done this for so long that it doesn't even affect me, so I'll just keep on doing it every day of my life and driving my car and voting and doing my homework this way. That's completely nuts.
Oh.
Nobody puts it that way, right? Nobody stops for 2 seconds to be like, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, maybe that's not such a hot idea after all.
Everybody has their opinion.
Yeah. So, what else do you do besides smoking marijuana?
I love my grandma, so I take care of my grandma.
You take care of your grandma. Well, that's a good boy. I appreciate that. You know, a lot of people these days, they're like, they think, you know, oh, well, we've got Social Security and we've got nursing homes, so fuck old people, you know, and that's not good, you know?
I'm 19 and I take care of everything from bank to paying bills to fucking food, getting groceries.
That's great,
feeding
man.
The dog, you know?
Well, that's really good. I appreciate that more than you probably realize.
It kind of fucking sucks, but it's like, I don't know. Kind of helps.
Kind of sucks, but it kind of what?
Kind of helps. I mean, I don't know.
I'm figuring out
life. I mean.
Well, that's, you know, at 19 years old, that's expected, right? You're still figuring it out, you know. I'm 43 and I haven't figured it out, so, you know.
Your frontal lobe's fully developed, though. I still got 6 years. You got to leave me alone.
Well, you'll there you go. But, say again? I didn't hear what the last thing you said was.
When I'm 25 and I'm fully developed, I think I'm going to be up there smart. I feel like I'm going to be rich. I don't feel like now, because, no. I'm well off, but not rich.
Right.
How do I get rich? Do I go to the casino when I'm 21?
You, generally speaking, very few people get rich in casinos. If you want to get rich,
Count cards?
What's that? What?
Count cards?
Well, I don't think that cards are going to get you rich. It's very unlikely. I mean, if you're really good, like, if you have very good memory and very good math skills, you know, you might be able to be competitive in poker, but I would say that most people are not going to be well-suited for that, and even if you're good at poker, you could still lose, right? I had a couple of roommates who are professional poker players, and, like, they made money almost all of the time, you know? They go play these poker tournaments where, like, it's not just that they're, you know, they go in with their buy-in, right? And then they're trying to win a prize as opposed to, you know, gambling their own money on each hand, say, right? And they made money. You know, those guys paid their bills and they, you know, and just by playing poker. I've never had the mind for that personally. If you think if you're any good at poker, you might try to pursue that. But, you know, if you want to get rich in a, say, more reliable way, you know, I would say that you're going to want to try to go find some way into a lucrative industry or find some, you know, the way that you make more money than other people is by doing something that other people can't or won't do is fundamentally it, right? That everybody wants and that nobody wants to do, then you make all the money. That's the idea, right?
Do you think renting is a good idea, like being a landlord type shit?
It requires... It requires some investment to begin with, and it's also like, you know, there's a lot of downsides to renting, okay? So, like, you know, you're competing with other landlords, and so there's a limit to how high you can raise your rents, and then the government has a habit of intervening when people start complaining that the rent is too damn high, right? And so, like, you have in New York City, for example, they have a thing called rent control. And rent control is basically the government's going to step in and prevent landlords from raising the rent because of what's going on in the city, it's raising the cost of living to a point, and the government is like, okay, well, that's going to make the people vote against us, and we don't want that to happen, and we certainly aren't going to stop taxing the crap out of our citizenry, and so we've got to figure out some way to reduce their costs, and the way that they reduce their costs is by intervening in the rent market. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that makes it impossible to find an apartment, right, because then the rents are kept artificially low, the demand for them is then artificially high, and you don't have these, like, market corrections that necessarily happen in normal economic situations, and then you move on to the next chat. Yo.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Huh?
Say, what's going on?
Oh, God. What you be doing? You got a green screen and shit?
Yeah, I got a green screen. I just I use it because I don't want my mess visible. You know, I stream, but I'm not streaming right now.
What's your stream?
It's a bunch of Nazi propaganda. They're running around hating Jews and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. You don't like Jews, right?
No. No. I'm Muslim.
Oh, shit. Well, good. Fuck. You guys are straightening them fucking kikes out. I tell you, I appreciate it, you know?
I'm from Palestine.
You're from Palestine?
Yeah.
And you're in the States now, I gather?
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I don't know that I want everybody in Palestine coming over here, but I love what they're doing to them fucking Jews, I'll tell you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I hope they straighten it out. I just read a thing today that Joe Biden warned Netanyahu that, like, U.S. policy on the situation might change. I think that's very unlikely because Jews completely run this fucking country, right? And so, like, what is Joe Biden can, you know, try to placate his left-wing activists all he wants, you know? They're like, they'll run around, you know, screaming Free Palestine because they confuse it, you know? All that Jewish anti-white horse shit, then they think that they can apply it to Israel and it doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, the left-wing activists are like, yeah, we want Palestine free because we think this is a white versus brown thing. And Joe Biden understands on some level. He's like, no, the Jews control everything, and so I have to do what they say. But, you know, then they're talking about, you know, him trying to placate to those left-wing activists, and I don't think they're going to do it, but it's an interesting prospect, you know?
Yeah.
What kind of vape you got?
I got a Lava.
You got a Lava? Is that a disposable one, or is it like a refill?
Yeah, disposable.
What milligrams you got? What strength?
I don't even know. It's 5%, Nick.
5%. There you go. All right.
And I got.
Oh, that's another one. I used to have one like that. That's like the it's a refillable tank on that one.
Yeah, it's a Goldfather.
Right on. You put anything else in there or just nicotine?
Just nicotine.
Yeah.
I meant, nah, this got weed in it.
Yeah, it's what I thought. Okay. So so you smoke, you're into THC then?
Yeah.
I was just saying to somebody else, man, I don't get, you know, the weed thing. Do you do any other drugs?
Nah, except shrooms.
Oh, there you go. The mushrooms are good. You know, as far as drugs go, mushrooms are what drugs are supposed to be, right? You do them, you're whacked out of your fucking mind for a little while, you feel really good, and then it's over, and you get back to your life, right?
Yeah.
Weed, you probably smoke weed every day, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably do it, like, first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, and then you do your high all day, and then you go to bed high, right?
Yeah.
And you do that every day of your life. Yeah. And you make all of your decisions while high.
Yeah, I got something called CHS. I started throwing up and stuff because of weed. I couldn't eat for 2 months.
You couldn't eat for 2 months?
Yeah.
I thought the weed was supposed to give you the munchies. What's CHS?
It's something called, like, cannabis hydrogen or something, like, I don't even know. Like, everything I put in my mouth, I would throw up.
I'm going to Google that right quick. Cannabis.
Search up CHS. What's
CHS? Cannabis. Cannabis hyperemesis syndrome is a recurrent nausea, vomiting, and cramping and abdominal pain that can occur due to prolonged high-dose cannabis use. These symptoms may be relieved temporarily by taking a hot shower or bath. Complications are related to persistent vomiting and dehydration, which may lead to kidney failure and electrolyte problems. So you went through this process where you were, like, vomiting and could not eat for 2 months due to the drug that is in your hand right now. And you have no intention of quitting, do you? Do you believe that you're addicted to this drug?
I don't know.
Okay, so let me just inform you that if a drug causes you to vomit and cramp and not be able to eat for 2 months, and then you do it anyway, you're definitely addicted to that drug. And all the people who tell you that that drug is not addictive are lying to you because they're dishonest and stupid. Yeah. Right? And, like, it's completely out of this fucking world. Like, everybody does this to, like, you know, one of the things I get a kick out of doing is I go on, I go on a few different places and to try to spark conversations with people. And people will say, like, no drugs in their profile. They don't want anybody who does drugs. But then they say 420 okay, right? Everybody thinks marijuana is not a drug. It's, yeah, it's not addictive. It's no big deal.
My birthday's 420 right there, 420 Green Street.
Well, you know, you and Adolf Hitler share that, and congratulations, you know. But, like, you know, the marijuana thing's a fucking complete goddamn disaster. It's a lifestyle drug, and people are just doing it all the fucking time, you know. And now with the vapes and the edibles and all this shit, it's like, it used to be, you know, marijuana smells like fucking crazy, and you've got to at least, like, you've at least got to go find a place to do it, right? Now you're just like, I'll just eat gummy bears and vape, and nobody even knows that I'm getting high. So kids are doing it in school. How old are you?
I'm 15.
You're 15 years old. So what are you? You're in high school or junior high?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you plan on graduating high school?
Yeah.
You plan on going to college?
Nah.
No. College is fucking bullshit. Even like, you know what? As I discourage drugs, it's tempting to tell you to stay in school. College is a bunch of fucking bullshit. A bunch of people high there too. So fuck them. Okay. But like, you know. Stop the fucking weed, guy. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, you understand the problem. You just told me that you couldn't fucking eat for 2 months. You're getting high. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, you're right.
You got to stop, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it seems to be like, you know what you got to do. You should probably do it. You know, you got these fucking the juicer or just disproportionately represented in that industry too, right? Just like the porn and everything else, right?
Yeah.
It's a fucking poison that they're pushing on people, and they do it like, you know, people talk about marijuana being a gateway drug. Like, in my view, that actually like downplays the danger of it, because the marijuana is on its own bad, right? But here's where it is a gateway drug, is in politics, right? They're like, oh, well, it's just marijuana. So politically, we'll allow the marijuana, or we'll stop enforcing our marijuana laws, which normalizes drug culture. And then you see things like they started doing in like Oregon and Colorado and stuff, where they start like legalizing or cease to enforce their laws against the hard drugs. You know, I live in a place called Manchester, New Hampshire, and like, you know, heroin and methamphetamine and all that shit is still illegal here. But they basically, you know, the libertarians basically took over and they were like, oh, no victim, no crime. So they more or less just stopped enforcing the drug laws. And so now I walk past Victory Park and Veterans Park around here, and I see junkies nodding off in the park in the middle of the fucking day. And they'll overdose in the park, and then some fucking paramedic will come Narcan them, and then they'll be back to Narcan the same dope fiend the same fucking night, you know. And it's like, oh, well, that's exactly what happened, that they were like, oh, you know, marijuana will do medical marijuana, and then everybody gets a medical marijuana card because, you know, you can get it for a headache or insomnia or, you know, stress or whatever fucking asshole excuse you have. And then they're like, well, everybody's high anyway. Let's just acknowledge that we're doing this for fun. And then they legalize recreational marijuana. And then they're like, okay, well, you know, we've got these other drugs. They're illegal, but, you know, it disproportionately infects people of color or whatever. So because we want to stop putting black people in jail, then we'll just stop enforcing the drug laws. And then a bunch of people end up dead. And they just keep on doing it. It just keeps on getting worse. So, you know, it's the marijuana does it. It's because of the marijuana. It's because Jews are pushing it on us. It's because they want us to be docile and stupid and lazy, and so that we'll fall for their stupid fucking asshole tricks, right? You know, that's what they do. And, you know, and as long as they keep on doing that in the United States, then you'll have a bunch of voters who are stupid enough to support people like Joe Biden, who will keep on giving the Jews money so that they can keep on killing Palestinians.
Right.
You know, just go over there, send a fucking nuclear submarine over there and go threaten all their neighbors. Be like, yeah, guys, we're just, you know, we're not intervening in the war. We're not participants in this genocide that they're committing. We're just going to make sure that the other militaries in the area don't come in and stop the genocide. We're going to use our nuclear weapons to do that. And that's because of marijuana, fundamentally. So you're going to stop?
Yeah.
You're going to stop? Good boy. I hope so.
Thank you for the talk, bro.
No problem. You got a girlfriend? You probably, it's probably because you're high all the time. You're lazy. You're not going out and getting a girl, you know. That's the other thing, too, you know. It reduces your sex drive and your sperm count, the fucking weed. You know? You go take some testosterone, and that'll fucking motivate you. You'll be running around. I mean, you probably don't start that at 15 years old. I'm kidding. I'm in my 40s. It's a completely different category thing, you know. But, you know, marijuana will lower your testosterone, your sperm count, and everything else. And so then you'll be, like, home getting high and masturbating instead of going out and banging girls, you know. And if you don't do that, you know, you're just like you. Then you're watching Jewish pornography, right? And then the Jews are fucking poisoning your sex life with all that fucking smut. You go to Pornhub.com.
Yeah.
You go to Pornhub. You know Jews run Pornhub, right? And you know what they do? They're on video admitting to it that they go and they're like that they intentionally. You ever notice that like more and more on Pornhub, it's all like incest stuff, or they're like trying to put in like weird themes. You can't just go watch a man and a woman have sex anymore. Now it's like you know, bratty sis or whatever, family therapy or whatever nonsense. Everything is they're fucking their sister or their brother or something like this. They're inserting transgender stuff into the regular straight porn. Like, yeah, go ahead, just take a peek at it. Just let us just warp your mind a little bit more, and then you keep on moving in that fucking direction until you're gay or something. You know, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to destroy us with drugs and sex, you know, smut and fucking stupid nonsense, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be much better if we were just in a fucking shooting war with them, you know? It'd be a lot fucking easier that way. So, anyway. All right, buddy, I'm going to let you recover from your high because you obviously can't talk. So, you know, take care of them teeth and take on the Jews and don't let their poison fucking ruin you, okay? Take care, buddy.
Thank you for the talk, for real.
You're very welcome, sir. Hello? Yo.
Damn, bro, you got more hair than me?
That's pretty funny. What's up, buddy?
Listen, let me suck your dick real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I can?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, let me see it.
No. I thought you was just going to go right under the screen. Like, I'm not putting my dick on camera, you know. If you want to give me head, like, I just get head and nobody sees it, fine. But if you're going to be like... Oh my god, you guys are watching pornography? That's funny. Hey. Hey, were you a bunch of kids watching pornography? This is bad. Oh my god, what are you doing?
Yo.
Holy. Yo, what up, dog? Get ready to rob a motherfucker or what? Are you getting ready to commit a crime, or are you just one of these COVID mask lunatics who wears a mask in your house by yourself while you eat food?
I thought your food could taste this fucking good. Goddamn!
Is that what it is? Is it like a sex thing? God. You're wearing a mask.
Oh my god! I didn't know pork could taste this good.
What are you eating?
God damn! I didn't know food tastes this good.
You just got out of prison or something?
Y'all have nothing to do with that situation, all right? Okay? All I got to do with that. They got nothing to do with that, man. They keep talking about my fucking gun. My gun keep falling out. My camera said my gun keep falling out. Talk about this. What is it? Let me finish too, I tell you. What was it?
Hello, hon. What are you eating?
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, hold on.
Okay.
I had to plug in my phone.
No problem. What do you want to do?
How's your day?
My day's pretty good. I'm working on some stuff on my computer and you know, chatting with people, and I had a couple of interesting conversations today about all types of stuff, and so.
Which one?
What you use this thing much?
Huh?
Do you go on here a lot?
Not really.
No? And how old are you?
An age.
I'm sorry?
An age.
Oh, you're an age. Okay, I understand. You don't want to answer my question. That's fine. I'm 43. And so I remember when chat rooms were a completely different thing. It's pretty fun now.
Are you a dad?
Am I a dad? Not that I know of. I think all
Not
the
that I know of.
I think all the women
I think all the women I got pregnant, they all had abortions, I think is what happened. And it's really sad, and I don't like that.
Good. I don't know. Can you give me their names? I'll go beat them up.
You know, I'm tempted to do that, as a matter of fact, but I probably shouldn't get you in trouble. I wouldn't want you to commit a violent crime and get in trouble for me. I've been to prison. It's not a nice place. And so...
What'd you go to prison for? If you don't mind me asking.
Somebody threatened a woman I cared about, and I caused him to understand that he had made a very big mistake. And so, and then the United States federal government, they disagreed with my definition of chivalry, and a jury of my peers in the state of New Hampshire found me...
Wait, did you beat the guy up, or did you kill him?
Well, I did neither of those things, as a matter of fact.
What'd you do?
I made his life more difficult than he cared for it to be, say. And I never actually met this man in person. It all happened over the internet. Okay?
Any press charges?
He did not. The FBI wanted me for political reasons, and so they hunted the man down, and they said, hey, we understand that this guy said something you don't like on the internet, and so just testify that he threatened your family, and we'll put him in prison, and we'll give you money. Otherwise... we can go to CNN, the news network, and tell them what you've been doing on the internet. And he did not want anybody to know what he had been doing on the internet because he's a criminal. And so they said, you know, we'll just, I'm sorry, what the hell is this about? I'm sorry. So they basically were like, we're going to expose all of your malfeasance or we'll give you money. And he was like, yeah, I'd rather you give me money. And so they paid him and then he lied and then I went to prison for 41 months. They put me in a United States penitentiary, a maximum security prison, with a man by the name of Victor Boot. He was accused of being an arms trafficker from Russia. And I met a lot of interesting people there. And we had a lot of fun. You know, prisons, you know, I shouldn't say that. I don't want anybody to go to prison. But, you know, you can have a good time there if it comes to it, you know.
Did you meet any scary people in prison?
I met a lot of scary people in prison, you know, mostly black ones. You know, black people are scary generally, and then by the time they get to prison, they've done a very good job of being scary, you know.
He just said black people are scary.
It's obvious, sweetheart. Don't worry. You don't have to tell anybody that you agree with me. Everybody knows it, okay? You're not allowed to say it out loud, but I don't care because I'm a criminal, right? So I just say whatever's true. But when you get what you're going to understand, you just definitely don't want to date them or anything like that. Don't hang out with them because they're dangerous and they'll hurt you, okay? And everybody's going to tell you that that's not true, but it is. You know?
What was that?
What's that? Oh, you probably got a beep from my...
I don't know. I just heard a voice.
Yeah, it's my other computer. You heard it beep because I'm doing something else on it.
Well, have a good day.
You too, sweetheart. Thank you.
What's going on?
Chilling, man. I'm just on here trying to counsel the kids against doing drugs, you know?
You said what?
I said I'm just trying to teach these kids not to do drugs, you know?
Not to do drugs?
Yeah, because everybody on here is high. Are you high?
Am I high?
Yeah, you probably smoke marijuana, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm fasting right now. I'm Muslim.
Oh, okay. So because of Ramadan, you're not getting high right now?
Yeah.
That's interesting. And so, like, you break your fast after, what is it, pretty soon, right? It's, like, after the sun sets?
Yeah, but I'm saying I'm not going to, I didn't smoke this whole month, though.
Okay.
But I'm going to get back to it, like, once it finished, though.
Okay, so for Ramadan, you're taking the entire month of Ramadan off from marijuana, but the food thing ends at sunset. Okay, that makes sense.
I don't vape at all. I'm just letting you know.
Okay, and so, like, what do you, but why do you think that, why do you smoke weed? Like, why do you use it when
it's
you do?
It's like, what I use it? I mean, at the store, I guess, I just was doing it. Now it's for, like, meditation and all that.
Now it's for meditation?
Well, I guess, cause, like, I not like the taste.
You like the taste of it?
It's a good feeling, man, getting high.
Well, you know, it's, what do you like about the feeling of being high?
I mean, I don't even know, bro. It's just like a self-conscious.
When I was a kid, I used to smoke weed. I used to think that like being high, like being high on marijuana was like the same thing as being happy. That's how I used to think about it. Like I would smoke weed and I just laugh and everything was cooler.
Yeah, but it's fun though.
Yeah, I used to think that myself, and I just like I don't believe that's the case anymore. Like it was amusing for a period of time because, you know,
like I went on, I got in trouble as a kid, and I was on probation for a little bit, and then I had to stop. Yeah, and then when I went back to it, it was like it was never the same. Then I was like stuck in my head, and I was like it made me quiet and stuff, and I didn't like that sensation, you know. And then like then later on in life, like I mean, like I did other drugs, like I like mushrooms and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, yeah, these are things that, like,
stuff like that again.
Make you, like, energetic, and it's actually, like, a unique experience, and, okay. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, I'm just trying to, like, teach these kids not to do drugs. You know, that's what I'm on here for, basically. You know, you do drugs?
Creo que eso es demasiado inglés para mí.
Oh, sorry, I don't understand Spanish so well.
Oh, no.
What? What?
Nigga, fuck you mean what? I said hello, so say hello back.
Oh, hello. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say hello. I heard you say what the fuck, and I was like, well, what the fuck with you, huh? I see the Playboy Bunny shirt. I'm like, what are you, Hugh Hefner? Hello, Dan. Hey, buddy. Dude, you gotta stop getting high, okay? Yo, why you? Oh man, everybody's high. Yeah, do it, 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 dog. Please, please pull the trigger. You should use one in each hand because if you fuck that thing up, you know, you gotta, you know. You ever seen anybody shoot themselves in the head and then live through it? You don't want to go through that. Make sure you take one gun in each hand, put it to either temple, and pull the fucking trigger. You straighten that shit straight up, you know. And if you're going to be high all the time, like you obviously
hey,
are,
nigger.
That's the only thing for you to do, okay? You're obviously
hey,
stoned. You're obviously stoned.
Hey, nigger.
I'm not a nigger. Look at me.
Hey, nigger.
I'm not. Do I look like a nigger to you?
Hey, nigger.
Yeah. This is what happens
nigger,
when
you... Nigger, 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 nigger,
this is
nigger,
what happens...
Nigger, 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 nigger.
This is what happens when you smoke marijuana, you see? Yeah. That's gross. Get it away from your mouth. What the fuck is wrong with you? Okay? Yo, you in prison? What the fuck? Yo. My studio, dog. What are you doing?
Appreciate it, man.
Huh? Yeah. What are you doing?
Old ass. Oh.
What's up? Oh, you see, you ball-headed.
Yeah, I'm ball-headed. That's right. That's what happens. You know?
Damn.
Unless you're like, you're a male, right? You're a man?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, unless you're a woman, you're going to lose your hair, too. Hello? How's it going?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's a human being.
Oh,
he's bald, and he's over 25. And he's not smoking marijuana. What is he doing on OMI TV?
Shut the fuck, Martin.
Yo.
You got a podcast?
Yeah, of course.
What's the backdrop? What is it set to?
Well, the backdrop, there's no, like, I'm not, OMI TV won't let me use my virtual camera, so I can't put, like, a virtual setting here. So I just have it here so that you don't see, like, the mess behind me. It's the only reason it's there.
I'm sure there's something set to whatever video or live stream you're doing. What's it set to?
I'm just literally all I'm doing is recording it like this, and so then I put I play the thing on the show. I'm not putting a background behind me. It's not the purpose of it.
What do you do here?
What do I do here? Mostly get hung up on is mostly what I do. The second most popular thing I do is tell these fucking idiots to stop smoking marijuana. That's the second most popular thing, and then the third most common thing is that I make racially insensitive remarks. That's the basically the trio of activities that I do on OMI TV.
I think we get along very good.
Well, right, because you're white and you understand what these people are doing to our country because it's impossible not to notice, right?
Yep.
You know that them and the trans thing, which is all just, I mean, it's a racially, you know, it's a racial thing anyway because the Jews are doing it, but you know, just the transgender stuff is basically it's the immigration and the degeneracy, you know, and the drugs. It's all Jews, you know.
Yeah, good to know we're not alone, brother. Keep it up.
Yeah,
keep
thanks, buddy. Yeah, we need it. We need more hate.
There's nombre.
Yo.
Dijo Kaylee.
Oh my god, what are you doing? You guys like hiding in a fucking closet? Have you been kidnapped? Do you need me to call the police?
Tu mamá. ¿Verdad? Pero quién.
What are you in the back of a truck being smuggled into my country? What's going on? Oh my god. Oh my god. Did you just murder your sister? Is this a violent crime occurring?
No, siéntate aquí. Siéntate. Yeah.
Are you abusing a child on OMI TV? Is that what's going on? Why are you committing crimes in front of me?
Y nosotros, okay, cuando hace esto, cuando haga esto y se va para ahí, nosotros vamos a hacer así.
Do you want me to call 911? Do I need to call the police or the FBI or something?
Okay.
No, pero no me quiero.
Are you in the country illegally? Hello? Hi, you're black, aren't you? Okay. Yo. Well, you guys smoke too much weed, obviously, is why you're laid out the wrong way on your recliner this way. You guys got to stop doing drugs and get your fucking lives together. Do you understand?
He said that we do drugs and we smoke weed and told us to stop doing drugs when he was like a fucking crackhead.
No, I didn't. I lost my teeth fighting because I'm a violent criminal.
Shut the fuck up. You look like Mr. Clean, you dumb bitch.
Yeah, but Mr. Clean doesn't talk. I do. And that's the whole entire point of the production, okay?
What did you say?
I said Mr. Clean doesn't talk. I do, okay? So, like, fucking pull it together, okay? You guys don't understand what you're doing because you're high. You guys are doing the marijuana stuff. It's making you bad. It's the Jews are doing it to you.
Wait, you think we smoke because I'm black?
No, I think you smoke because your buddy's laid out the wrong way on the recliner. He doesn't even know how to sit in a chair anymore.
That's because he has special needs.
Yeah, exactly. He's been made retarded by his drug use, and now he's a special ed child.
No, he was born like this.
Dude, you're like about a dad on a fucking app right now. You have no life?
No, I have a life. Right, I do. I have a life. It's an interesting one.
You're smoking right now.
No, I have a vaporizer because I'm a nicotine junkie, and that's bad too, but it doesn't cause me to sit the wrong way in a chair. You see, it doesn't cause me to lose my faculties and not know how to talk to people. You see? And so this is what happens when you hang out with non-whites and you use drugs. You end up in this situation where you're tapping your butthole sitting the wrong way on a fucking recliner. It's not good for you.
He wants you to stick it in.
Do you see your friend touching his butthole behind you? Do you know that that's going on?
No, there's nothing behind me.
Yeah, he's behind you, and he's playing with his ass.
There's nothing behind me, look.
Yeah, okay.
Yo, he wants you to stick it in him.
No, I want you to stop. Okay.
Enough. Show your dick.
You guys are stupid. You guys got to stop doing drugs. Goodbye.
He did look like a dog.
Hello?
Dad?
Yeah, I'm your dad. That's right. Me and your mother, when we met at the high school reunion, we got together, produced a black child. It was a pretty good time too. That's why I'm a racist now. Your mom really pissed me off, and so I became a racist podcaster, and I've never gotten over it. You know, but it's a good thing to meet you here. I've been trying to find you for years. Your mom's a bitch. She wouldn't tell me where you were. I kept on trying. She's like, just give me the fucking money, asshole. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to pay for it if I can't talk to my fucking daughter. So what the fuck are you doing to me? You
know? He's also my dad.
Fucking stupid asshole took me to fucking court and was like, you got to pay. And I was like, she won't even let me see the bitch.
Ew, ball here. Oh, no.
Man, at least I don't have dreadlocks. Ha, that's pretty funny. Are you white and you're wearing like black people faces? That's like, some people would call that racist. I don't mind that it's racist, but like, I just wish that you would not emulate black folks. Hello, dear. What's the fucking face about? All right, so that's the bit, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you got a kick out of it. I enjoyed doing it. We're going to do more of that. Real Tony Soprano sends $100. He says, I'm not sure about weed, but I know the Bible specifically says that you can't get into heaven unless you use
Philip Morris and Altria brand tobacco. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says. It's right there in Genesis. It's like the first thing they tell you. And so there's some news. There's things going on in the world. I mentioned when I was talking with the Muslim fellow about his marijuana habit that's preventing him from strapping on a suicide vest and going and straightening out that problem in his country and instead being an immigrant here. I told him that Biden apparently had like warned Netanyahu, which is funny because, you know, normally it's the Jews are warning, they're warning Joe Biden. And so President Joe Biden warned Israel of a sharp shift in his policy over the Gaza war Thursday amid growing frustration with Benjamin Netanyahu and mounting domestic pressure in a U.S. election year. This story is AFP through Yahoo News. A tense phone call between the two leaders appeared to yield at least some results, as Netanyahu's office announced within hours it would temporarily allow more aid to flow into Gaza. Biden has stood solidly behind Israel and its prime minister since Hamas's October 7th attacks, and his criticism of the civilian deaths in Gaza has not stopped Washington from supplying military hardware to its key ally. But the Democrat faces spiraling anger from Muslim and younger voters over his support for Israel, and political allies have been pressing him to make the aid conditional on changed Israeli behavior. In a 30-minute call with Netanyahu after Israeli strikes killed 7 aid workers from U.S.-based charity World Central Kitchen, Biden hinted at doing just that. Now, this is pretty funny. He's like, hey, I'm going to give you guys like billions of dollars, you know, and you're going to have to like change your behavior. We're going to use that in order to control what you do. And the Jews are like, no, you guys just give us the money. We do whatever we want. That's how this works. And you're like, no, like I'm going to lose the election unless you guys stop killing everybody. And I have to do something. No. You don't understand, Mr. Biden. You do what we say. We don't do what you say. You give us the money or we tell these people where the pictures are. For the first time, Biden, quote, made clear that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action, quote, end quote, to curtail the killing of civilians and aid workers and improve the dire humanitarian situation, the White House said. The tough language describing the aid worker attack as unacceptable and urging Israel to take steps at an immediate ceasefire reflected mounting tensions with Netanyahu. Quote, what happened to the World Central Kitchen? That event certainly was a catalyst for the call today, said White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby during a CNN speaking to CNN Thursday evening. Earlier this week, the World Central Kitchen convoy was repeatedly struck by Israeli forces despite clearing its route with the military. A U.S.-Canadian dual national was among those killed in the attack, which Israel called a mistake. We cleared the path for them to go, but then we killed them because we're incompetent. Biden's, quote, frustration has been growing over recent weeks and months over the dangers to the civilian population in Gaza and to aid workers, Kirby said. Later that evening, Netanyahu's office announced it was reopening their Erez border crossing for the first time since October 7th to allow aid into the northern Gaza Strip, as well as allowing supplies to pass through the port of Ashdod. Increasing levels of Jordanian aid will go through the Kerem Shalom. The White House said, steps were being taken at the president's request and must now be fully and rapidly implemented. Stop it now. The Biden administration faces a difficult balancing act on Gaza between what Kirby called its ironclad commitment to Israel and mounting opposition to the war at home. Democrats fear anger among Arab American and Muslim voters in an expected tight election against Republican Donald Trump in November. A key Biden confidant had earlier urged him to leverage the huge military aid that Washington gives to Israel every year. I think we're at that point, said Chris Coons, a Democrat senator from the president's home state of Delaware, he told CNN. Biden also reportedly faces pressure, even closer to home, from First Lady Jill Biden. Stop it now, she told the president about the growing toll of civilian casualties in Gaza, according to comments by Biden himself during a meeting with members of the Muslim community reported by the New York Times. Despite historic tensions between right-winger Netanyahu, Biden traveled to Israel as a self-described Zionist days after the Hamas attacks and hugged the premier. But Biden's rhetoric has sharpened as the civilian death toll soared past 30,000 and the humanitarian situation becomes even more dire. Biden ordered U.S. airdrops of aid into Gaza. He also allowed a U.N. Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire to go through, infuriating Netanyahu. Biden's words, however, have not been matched by concrete steps to limit the billions of dollars in military aid flowing to Washington's bedrock regional ally, our greatest ally, as some like to say. The United States approved the transfer of thousands more bombs to Israel on the same day the Israeli strikes that killed the World Central Kitchen aid workers, the Washington Post reported on Thursday. U.S. voters are increasingly turning against Israel's Gaza offensive. A majority of 55% now disapprove of Israel's actions compared to 36% who approve, according to a Gallup poll released on March 27th. And so that's kind of like an interesting bit of data there, I'd say. If 55% disapprove, and people who are trying to win a popularity contest in the coming months are like, yeah, I understand that you all disapprove of this, but we have to keep on financing it because we're not actually in control of the country. And so that's going to keep on going on. And of course, you know, it wouldn't be another day if we weren't getting closer to war with Russia. Washington Post reports, after terror attack, Russia sees U.S. role and claims it is at war with NATO, which is great news for Joe Biden. In the aftermath of last month's terrorist attack at the Krokus City Hall concert venue outside of Moscow, Russian officials not only have blamed Ukraine, but have also repeatedly accused the West of involvement, even though U.S. officials insist they gave Moscow a specific warning that the Islamic State could attack the venue. If the U.S. warning was so detailed, it raises further questions about Russia's failure to prevent the country's worst terrorist attack in two decades. But rather than publicly confronting questions about their own actions, Russian security officials have disregarded claims of responsibility by the Islamic State. Instead, they have insisted that U.S. and British intelligence were involved in helping Ukraine organize the strike. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov declined to comment Wednesday on a report in the Washington Post that U.S. intelligence specifically warned Russia that the Krokus City Hall could be a target for terrorists. The New York Times published a similar report shortly after the Post. Russian Security Council Secretary Nikolai Petrushev on Wednesday directly blamed Ukrainian security forces for the Krokus City Hall attack, in which at least 114 people were killed. Petrushev also hinted at Western involvement. A day earlier, he accused Western intelligence of using terrorist groups to attack adversaries. Quote, they are trying to make us think that the terrorist attack was perpetrated not by Kiev regime, not by the Kiev regime, but by followers of a radical Islamic ideology, possibly members of the Afghan branch of the Islamic State. Petrushev said at a meeting in Astana, Kazakhstan, of Security Council secretaries of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization nations. He said it was more important to identify the masterminds and sponsors, squarely blaming Ukrainian security services. He added that numerous hoax bomb threats have emanated from the Ukrainian territory since the attack. It is, quote, it is also indicative that the West began insisting on Ukraine's non-involvement in the crime as soon as the terrorist attack on Krokus City Hall was reported, Petrushev said. Russia's blame game amid increasingly confrontational anti-NATO rhetoric from top security officials who insist that the U.S.-led alliance is fighting a war against Russia. Several of these officials have hinted repeatedly about Russia's potential use of nuclear weapons. NATO officials continue to assert that the alliance's right to supply Ukraine with weapons it needs to defend its territory. Since the Krokus City Hall attack, Russian officials have subtly framed the violence as part of that war, while barely mentioning the Islamic State's Afghanistan branch, Islamic State Khorasan, or ISIS-K, which U.S. intelligence officials have said was responsible. U.S. intelligence also warned last month that terrorists could attack a Moscow synagogue. A day after receiving the warning on March 7th, Russia's Federal Security Service announced that it had prevented an attack on a Moscow synagogue by an ISIS case. So that's interesting. They're like, oh, there's a warning about an attack on a synagogue about to happen. We better, you know, rush right to that. The city hall thing, yeah, that's okay. Asked if the United States warned Russia that Krokus City Hall was a possible target for a terrorist attack and whether a U.S. warning helped the FSB avert the synagogue attack, Peskov on Wednesday declined to confirm the report. Okay, I see, he said. This is not our competence because such information exchanges are conducted at the level of specialized services and the information is transmitted directly from service to service. At least two members of the cell that planned the synagogue attack based in the Kaluga region were killed by FSB agents when they opened fire during arrest, according to the agency, which reported that the cell was planning to attack the synagogue using firearms. Kazakhstan confirmed that two of its citizens were killed in that raid. 4 days after the Krokus City Hall attack, FSB Director Alexander Bortnikov blamed Ukraine and said Western security services were involved. We believe the action was prepared by radical Islamists. Naturally, Western security services contributed to it, and Ukrainian security services bore a direct relation, Bortnikov told reporters. Petrushev told Argumenti Effecti newspaper in an interview published Thursday that Washington used NATO as a tool to carry out hybrid wars, quote, to undermine and disorganize the system of state administration of countries that do not agree with the policy of the Anglo-Saxons. At the same time, the alliance does not disdain using terrorist organizations in its interests, he said. NATO, he said, quote, has been a source of danger, crises, and conflicts for many years. 3 days before the Krokus City Hall attack, Russian President Vladimir Putin had dismissed U.S. warnings, calling them outright blackmail and attempts to intimidate and destabilize our society. Putin and other Russian officials have made no mention of the U.S. intelligence supplied in relation to the planned synagogue attack. In an interview with Argumenti Effecti, published the morning of the Krokus City Hall strike, Peskov said NATO was waging a war against Russia, repeating a linchpin of Kremlin propaganda used to justify Russia's invasion of Ukraine and to mobilize Russia's population behind the war. Quote, we are in a state of war. Yes, it started out as a special military operation, but as soon as that bunch formed there, when the collective West became a participant in this on the side of Ukraine, it has already become a war for us. I am convinced of that, and everyone should understand this for their internal mobilization, Peskov said. Putin alleged a Ukrainian link to the Krokus City Hall terrorists the day after the attack, when he told Russians in a speech that the nation had to, I'm sorry, in a speech to the nation that, quote, a window was prepared for them from the Ukrainian side to cross the state border. Top pro-Kremlin propagandists, including Margarita Simonyan, editor-in-chief of the RT News Channel, ramped up attacks blaming Ukraine and the West. In a post on social media, she asserted that Western intelligence clearly played a role in the Krokus City Hall attack because it had identified the perpetrators. Quote, they knew who the perpetrators were before the detention. That's direct involvement, Simonyan posted, later adding that the source of the attack was not ISIS, but Ukraine. Likewise, Russian lawmaker Alexander Yakubovsky claimed that the Nazi terrorist regime of Ukraine is behind this terrorist attack, possibly using radical Islamists, but without Western intelligence services, it is impossible to pull this off. Another hardline Russian lawmaker, Pyotr Tolstoy, posted on Telegram that the war could not be seen apart from the war with the collective West for the peaceful futures of our children. The Kremlin's effort to blame Ukraine and the West for the attack appears to have succeeded in mobilizing Russians around the war effort. Russia's defense ministry announced Wednesday that 1,700 Russians a day were signing contracts to fight Ukraine. Many of them, it added, motivated by the Krokus City Hall attacks. In the past 10 days, 16,000 people have signed contracts, it announced. Shortly after U.S. warnings were shared with Russia, the authorities did tighten security at Krokus City Hall, according to a 15-year-old Kochek boy, Islam Kalilov. He told Russian media, quote, we were warned a week ago that there might be attacks. There was training. They told us what to do, where to lead people. I was ready for it in principle. That week, there were the toughest checks with dogs. But just days later, on a busy Friday evening, four gunmen rampaged through Krokus City Hall, shooting concertgoers and setting the hall on fire without any resistance, according to video from the scene. It remains unclear why security was loosened again. Russian officials and pro-Kremlin news outlets have steered clear of the question, instead focusing on blaming Ukraine and the West. Putin, speaking at an interior ministry meeting Tuesday, called for increased security at concert venues, shopping centers, and other places where crowds gather. It's important above all to bring law, order, and security at crowded places, sports and transport facilities, shopping and recreation centers, schools, hospitals, colleges, theaters, and so on, up to a new level. Russia's foreign intelligence chief, Sergei Naryshkin, claimed Tuesday that U.S. intelligence on the Krokus City Hall attack was too general to be of help. Indeed, the FSB did receive information, he said. The information was too general and did not allow the ultimate identification of perpetrators of the horrible crime. And so you basically have this situation where the U.S. intelligence agencies are like, yeah, you're going to get attacked over there. And then sure enough, they get attacked. And then Russia's like, well, how did you know they're going to attack us? And, you know, that's not an unreasonable question for a person to ask. And then they're like, well, you know, I know exactly how you know that it happened because you set it up. Now, you know, if they knew that there was going to be an attack to the point that they trained the coat check boy about it, and then these guys ran through there shooting people anyway, you got to think that actually some there might be some malfeasance on the Russian side, if we're entirely honest with ourselves. And, you know, that actually makes a great deal of sense if you think about it. If they, okay, so 117 people got killed. Yeah, and that's pretty bad. But, you know, if you're trying to wait, you're planning to get into a war with NATO, this is going to be the least of your problems. I got a super chat in the mail, by the way. And so there's a fella. Did he skim me a name? Should I read a name? I don't have a name for you, sir. Hello, Chris. Enclosed is $100. I'd appreciate if you read my super chat on air. Jews are bats. Aesop tells a fable about the birds and beasts preparing for war. As each side gathers its forces, the birds approach the bat and say, "Come join us, for we will soon be waging war against the beasts." But the bat says, "I cannot, for see, I have fur and fangs. I am a beast." And so the birds depart. Then the beasts approach the bat and say, "Come join us, for we will soon be waging war on the birds." But the bat says, "I cannot see. I cannot, for see, I have wings and can fly. I am a bird." So the beasts depart. Shortly before the first battle, a peace treaty is signed and the war is averted. Birds and beasts go their separate ways to celebrate. The bat flies to the birds to join in their festivities, but the birds say, "You cannot join us, for you said you were a beast." Then the bat flies to the beasts to join in their festivities, but the beasts say, "You cannot join us, for you said you were a bird." And so, shunned by all, the bat went off to live in a cave where he remains alone and hated to this very day. Jews are bats, demanding inclusion by all, giving support to none. To Christians, they say, "We are like you, of the Judeo-Christian tradition, targeted by Muslim terrorists." To Muslims, they say, "We are like you, a minority in the West, oppressed by Christian crusaders." To white people, they say, "We are white like you." To people of color, they say, "We are non-white like you." Before the Russian invasion, Jews in Ukraine said, "We are just as Ukrainian as you, entitled to full citizenship." But after the attack, Jews fled to Israel to avoid military service because what is Ukraine to us with its history of anti-Semitism? Wherever benefits are to be had, the Jews show up with his hands out. But when hardship arrives and sacrifice is required, the Jew disavows any obligation and disappears. And yet another people learns to distrust and shun these bats. Well, that was very good, sir. I appreciated that that little rant near as much as the C note, and I really do thank you for both. And, you know, if you want to send me something in the mail, you could do that. Christopher Cantwell, 497 Hookset Road. That'd be a great idea. Things of value. Fantastic. Love it. And I would love to have your super chats, whether they be in the mail, whether they be in the Odyssey chat, whether they're on Entropy, whether they're on givesendgo.com/SPM, whether they're through, you know, Strike Payment, strike.me/Cantwell, or even the Cash App. My cash tag is Edgy Chris. You can send your money along any way you see fit. I've tried to make it very easy to pay me, you know what I mean? And so, let's see. Let's probably do one more. So, you know, when you have this situation where Russia's like, "Yeah, you guys are basically waging war against us, and so we're gonna start treating it like that, and you better stop it." And NATO's like, "Yeah, no, we're gonna get, no, we understand the whole point is to start the war, so we're getting ready for the war." And so that's the story here in Newsweek: U.S. and NATO preparing for all contingencies amid Russian war threat. This is David Brennan over at Newsweek. America's permanent representative to NATO stressed that the U.S. and its transatlantic partners are preparing for a Russian expansion of its war on Ukraine into Allied territory, though she has stressed that such a threat is not imminent. U.S. Ambassador to NATO Julianne Smith told reporters at a briefing on Tuesday that Russia remains, quote, "the preeminent threat that we're grappling with," though added, quote, "we do not see an imminent threat to NATO territory." Quote, "NATO is not sitting on its hands," Smith added. It's not waiting for any possible contingency. Instead, it's preparing for all contingencies. Newsweek has contacted the Russian Foreign Ministry by email to request comment. NATO officials and leaders, especially those sitting along the alliance's eastern frontier with Russia, are increasingly warning that Russia poses a direct threat to the Western Bloc, suggesting there is serious danger of a larger war with the coming within the coming decade. A Russian victory in Ukraine, they said, will buoy Moscow and encourage further aggression. Smith echoed such concerns on Tuesday. We have also seen many times in history where if a dictator is not stopped or an authoritarian leader, they keep going, he said. She said, I should say, referring to Russian President Vladimir Putin. That's why it's so important that we help Ukraine push Russia out of its territory and end this unprovoked aggression. Fantastic. Yeah, if you don't stop the dictator, then he's just going to keep on going. As opposed to all those times when, you know, the U.S. goes in there and, you know, stops whatever it is that they say that they're stopping. And then everything turns out, you know, smooth and peaceful after that. Because if they do not succeed, of course, the concern is that Russia will feel compelled to keep going, the ambassador added. The U.S. does not, however, feel that Russian threat to NATO is immediate. We are not signaling to anyone that war is imminent, Smith said. We are looking for indicators and warnings. Smith added, noting that repeated and detailed warnings issued by Washington, D.C. in the lead-up to the Russian invasion in early 2022. We monitor the situation regularly, as you might imagine, to look for other indicators and warnings that Russia is preparing to do something above and beyond what it's doing in Ukraine. Right now, we see Russia all in and engaged with this unprovoked war of aggression inside of Ukraine. You know, once they say unprovoked war of aggression, you know, you understand these are not serious people. But we do have, but we do not have indicators or warnings right now that Russian that a Russian war is imminent on NATO territory, and I want to be clear about that. I don't want to give our friends in the Baltic states the impression that somehow war is coming to NATO territory overnight, Smith added, acknowledging the repeated warnings from NATO Eastern members. We take it seriously, but we do not see this to be an imminent threat. With Ukrainian troops on the defensive after more than 2 years at war, Western nations are seeking to reinvigorate its military and continue political backing for Kyiv while grappling with domestic political pivotal domestic elections and economic strains. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and his officials are pressing their Western partners to maintain and expand support. The president said in March that Ukraine expects a major new Russian offensive this summer and warned that Moscow's success would imperil Western nations. At the moment, it's us, then Kazakhstan, then the Baltic states, then Poland, then Germany. At least half of Germany, Zelensky said. That's hilarious. Oh, yeah, you're going to go get put the band back together, I guess. This aggression in Putin's army can come to Europe, and the citizens of the United States, the soldiers of the United States, will have to protect Europe because they're the NATO members. Why would they protect Europe? They're not even protecting our border. You have a bunch of white people go invade Europe? Oh, my God, stop it. That'll be what it is. It'd be like, hey, no, you know, that's white people, that's colonization. As NATO nations look for new ways to sap momentum from Russia and bolster Ukraine, some leaders, prime among them French President Emmanuel Macron, have even raised the prospect of deploying Allied troops on Ukrainian soil. Smith said the U.S. does not back such an effort. The U.S. does not support sending troops to fight in Ukraine. We've been very clear about that, she said. We are not interested in becoming party to this conflict, but we do want to support Ukraine as it defends itself against Russian aggression. So, you know, this is going to be a complete fucking shit show, obviously. So they're talking about, you know, Emmanuel Macron is like, oh, you know, we'll go send some troops in there. And then if you kill our troops, then, of course, you know, then we'll invoke Article 5 because you're killing French soldiers. That'd be a great idea. What was the other thing? I want to get to another one before we wrap it up here. Actually, I'm going to go. I bookmarked this the other day. Let me pull this up. We warned recently, we talked about this on a prior episode. I forget which show it was. So they were talking about in Ukraine, they're like, yeah, they're running out of human beings to fight, right? They're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, we're going to win the war or whatever, but we're running out of population. And so they were like, okay, well, maybe we could lower the draft age, then we'd have more men to go fight the war, you know? And then they're like, yeah, but if we do that, then there won't be enough men to impregnate the women. And then that will basically be the end of our people. The you know, our ethnic group will cease to exist. It'll be a genocide that we'll facilitate by fighting a war that we know that we're not going to win. And they're okay to do that because, you know, the United States is telling them to, and the United States is run by Jews, and Zelensky's a Jew. So they were like, yeah, well, you know, they were debating this in the parliament. They're like, yeah, well, this will end up with, we'll go extinct if we do that, so we probably shouldn't do it. Now they're doing it anyway. This is over at denews.com. Zelensky lowers draft age to shore up Ukraine's depleted army. So they're doing it anyway. They're going to kill their people off, and they like doing that over there. President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine has signed into law three measures aimed at replenishing the ranks of his country's exhausted and battered army, including lowering the age when men become eligible for conscription, and eliminating some medical exemptions. While Mr. Zelensky did not say why he had decided to move ahead on at least some of the changes, we all know it's because he's complicit in the genocide of his people. I'm sorry, they didn't actually say that at thenews.com. I was ad-libbing. While Mr. Zelensky did not say why he had decided to move ahead on at least some changes, Russia's forces have been on the offensive along the front line, and the ongoing fighting has shrunk Ukraine's supplies of soldiers and weapons. Ukraine's parliament has for months debated a bill that covers a more sweeping overhaul of conscription, but political analysts say that calling up more men has become an issue that no politician or military leader wants to be associated with, due to, I'll add, the aforementioned genocide of the Ukrainian people. That included Mr. Zelensky, who had delayed for nearly a year signing the bill lowering the draft age. Ukraine's army of about 1 million soldiers is fighting the largest war in Europe since World War II, waged in muddy trenches or the ruins of cities in urban combat. Casualty rates are high. Most men who wanted to volunteer for the military have already done so, and small anti-draft protests have broken out before the new laws were passed. The new measures, which Parliament had passed last May and which Mr. Zelensky signed into law late Tuesday, lower the draft eligibility age from 25 from 27, eliminate a category of medical exemptions known as partially eligible, and create an electronic database of men in Ukraine starting at age 17. Military recruitment offices are authorized to begin drafting younger men on Wednesday. Ukraine is expected, at best, to hold the existing front lines in ground fighting this year if a new influx of American weapons arrives, military analysts say, and risks falling back without it. To maximize its efforts, Ukraine plans to replenish its army through mobilization while trying to keep Russia off balance with sabotage missions behind enemy lines and long-range drone strikes, such as attacks on an oil refinery and weapons plant in Russia on Tuesday. Ukraine relies on its allies for most new ammunition and weapons, and renewing that arsenal is mostly a matter beyond the country's control. In Washington on Monday, House Speaker Mike Johnson laid out conditions for a vote on a fresh infusion of American weapons and financial aid, in the strongest indication yet that the assistance would be forthcoming, despite opposition from many Republicans. At home, Ukraine has stumbled on the overhaul of mobilization rules. In January, its parliament withdrew a draft law on mobilization that included stiffened penalties for draft dodgers. The bill was introduced again, but lawmakers submitted more than 4,000 amendments. A vote was expected this month. Even with the new change, Ukraine's draft age is unusually high. The country had drafted men aged 27 to 60, and the average age in the military is over 40. Under martial law, all men 18 to 60 had already been prohibited from leaving the country in case any decision was made to draft them. Men and women can volunteer for military services starting at age 18. Mr. Zelensky has said he does not intend to conscript women into the military, although women with medical educations are required to register for the draft. In formulating its mobilization plans, Ukraine has had to balance military, economic, and demographic considerations. Lowering the draft age will bring more and healthier soldiers to the fight, but poses long-term risk for sustaining Ukraine's population, given the country's demographics. As in most former Soviet states, Ukraine has a small generation of 20-year-olds because the birth rates plummeted during the deep economic depression of the 1990s. Because of this demographic trough, there are now three times as many men in their 40s as in their 20s in Ukraine. Drafting men starting at age 25, given the likely battle casualties, also risks further diminishing this small generation of Ukrainians and potentially future birth rates, leaving the country with declines of working and draft-age men decades from now. And that was, I said this was from the news. They announced at the end that this was originally posted at the New York Times. And so, you know, in order to weaken the Russian military, the United States is causing a genocide of Ukrainian people. And that's what you call standing up for Ukraine. This is what they say is helping the people of Ukraine stand for democracy to make sure that they all die and never reproduce themselves. That's kind of the whole idea. It's, you know. Well, it was funny, you know. I was on that call Monday with the FTM from Grindr, the woman who just declared herself a male with no, you know, interventions at all. And she's like, "Oh yeah, no, genocide is when you're killing people. It's not like when other people are breeding faster. Genocide is when you make sure people no longer exist. Is actually what it is. So you could do it more or less creatively. You could go in there and you can murder everybody. You could go in there and be like, okay, everybody, line up. We're going to chop your head off in a guillotine." And, you know, that takes a long time, and you got to resharpen the blades, and, you know, it's a pain in the ass. And then people are like, hey, I don't know if we should do this. Or you can, you know, you can subsidize birth control and abortion, and you can tell everybody to be homosexual, and you can give them free drugs, and then you can, you know, put people in prison for the rest of their lives, and you can let the criminals out of prison and then put the regular people in prison so they're not reproducing, but the criminals are. And then you can open up your borders, and you can let everybody in, and then you can wage a war, and then you can lose the war on purpose, and then you can deplete your country's, you know, financial resources and your military resources. And then you could raise the taxes on your people and make it impossible to live so that people choose not to have children. And that's how you genocide a people. It's modern. It's smart. It's, you know, they're using economics. They understand things. They're not as dumb as they make themselves out to be. They actually, they're pretty diabolical, turns out. And so that's going to keep on happening. And we're going to keep on talking about it in one capacity or another. I thank you very much for tuning into this episode of The Radical Agenda, ladies and gentlemen. One of the last, possibly. Whatever it is that we're going to do next, I think it's going to be better, and I'm looking forward to doing it, and I hope that you guys will stick with me. Stay on the email list, christophercantwell.net/subscribe. That's one way that you have a reasonably certain way of keeping in touch with me, as long as you have a real email provider. If you have like Yahoo or like Roadrunner or Charter or one of these things, you know, they might be blocking my emails to you, and maybe you get Proton Mail. You go to surrealpolitics.com/getPM, then you'll get a Proton Mail email account. Now, you can get it for free or you can pay for it. It's up to you. I pay for it. I think it's a worthwhile service. And then when you get emails from people like me, then Proton Mail will give it to you. It's not like those other things where they're like, yeah, no, we don't want you to have email. We decide who you're allowed to talk to and who you're not. And so it's good when you have real service providers who are actually like doing a good job and stuff, when they actually care about your satisfaction and your capacity to do your job. It's good. And then other people, when they don't, you know, you have Microsoft or whatever, they're like, no, I don't think, you know, Gmail, whatever it is. They're like, yeah, we'll spy on you. We'll take your email and give it to the government, but we're not going to give your email to you. And that's kind of what they do. So go ahead and get a Proton Mail account, whether you get it through surrealpolitics.com/getPM or whether you just go to Proton Mail. And then you sign up for my email list at christophercantwell.net/subscribe. And then things will be good, you know. And you know what else you should do? Just as an aside, you should use the Signal app for texting. You should, like, not be doing everything in plain text, okay? And so encrypt your communications. Pay attention to me. Give me some fucking money, will you? ChristopherCantwell.net/donate will tell you all the things I told you before, tell you where my crypto keys are, that sort of thing. Get me money, and then I'll do interesting things, and we'll make the world a better place. Thank you very much for tuning into Radical Agenda. Have yourself the best weekend with the ones you love. Good night.
That's it. It's over. Then we organize the death squads for the people who wrecked America.
You know what you call people you can't talk to? Enemies. And if we want to divide our society into armed camps of enmity, all we have to do is keep doing what we're doing.
A radical agenda, the event has turned into an opportunity for the left to push a racial and radical agenda.
Implementing their radical agenda is the only thing they care about. They're bad actors.
And what they want to do here is ram their radical agenda down your throat.
These are great Americans. These are people that want to see great things for the country. You know, they try and build them like sort of a radical agenda. It's not a radical agenda. It's called the Second Amendment.
Fuck you, pay me.